This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
The French people have spoken. The country's next president will be centrist Emmanuel Macron or the far right's Marine Le Pen. Mr. Macron, followed by Ms. Le Pen, topped the polls in the first round of the election, and the two will face off in a head-to-head on May 7th. The candidate who receives the most votes wins the presidency. So what are the projections? Polls predict Mr. Macron will handily defeat Ms. Le Pen in the runoff. France's main parties, the ruling Socialists and the Conservative Republicans, have both urged their supporters to back Mr. Macron. But Ms. Le Pen has a very passionate supporter base, so she should not be counted out just yet. How do the two candidates differ? Very much so. And the first round outcome suggests the French people are just as divided. Mr. Macron is in favor of free trade, is pro-immigration, and is a staunch supporter of the European Union. Ms. Le Pen, on the other hand, is not. The anti-EU nationalist has promised a referendum on EU membership and would like to pull France out of the euro. What challenges will the new president face? Security, for one, will top the agenda, following a string of terror attacks on French soil. Reforming France's sluggish economy won't be far behind. Unemployment has been around 10% for 4 years and is well above the EU average. The new president will also be instrumental in defining the Franco-German relationship at the heart of the EU. So when will the next president take power? Unlike a US election, the transition is very short. Current president François Hollande will hand over power to the president-elect around 10 days after the results are in.
That's the report from Wall Street Journal. Just a reinforcement of what Tom Rogan had shared with us earlier in terms of what happened there. And it was interesting to see, Scott, whether or not that terrorist, action was going to have any effect on what happened with the vote. And that doesn't seem to be the case, you know, unlike in Spain, if you remember, when there was a terrorist attack, it really turned things around, you know, quite incredibly. But here it is, although I maybe some establishment types might say, well, that was maybe why the establishment is out. I mean, for the first time ever, you've got a non-establishment entity being represented. You've got with Macron and with Le Pen, two non-traditional people. So interesting that what you see happening there in Paris, pretty much the same has been happening around the world, and that is that people are looking for a change. You know, they don't want to stay the same course. Well, over the weekend, I got some sorrowful news, and that is that Aaron Moran, from Happy Days, dead of suspected heroin overdose at the age of 56. I can say, last time I saw Aaron, and this goes back years ago, when I was in Los Angeles at a radio station there, we used to play Dodger Stadium. I mean, you talk about a thrill of a lifetime. And the crew of Happy Days, we had a baseball team, a softball team, and we did different events. It was called the Kiss-Offs, because Kiss Radio, so we called the Kiss-Offs. And they asked us to play kind of a pregame to the Dodgers. I think that one year they were about 14 games out of first place, so what the heck. And I think Steve Brenner was the PR guy and said, hey, you guys, why don't you come in and, you know, we'll do a little warm-up game. And we had done a couple of kind of fun games with the Happy Days crew with, with Henry Winkler and Ron Howard in the group and Gary Marshall. And, we'd go out to a local park and there'd be, several thousand people there to watch us play. And they thought, okay, well, hey, why don't you come down to Dodger Stadium? And there was like 35,000 for the game. And Aaron was there, and probably one of the last times that I saw her. What a sweet young gal, and just a sad ending to her life. And, it's just very touching and sad to hear the report that Happy Days star would, be in this kind of tough situation and died of a suspected heroin overdose at the age of 56, Aaron Moran. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Drop me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, it's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. We love to hear from you. Love the emails. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. As I mentioned, we got Ed Henry with us. We're going to talk Jackie Robinson. And I know when I first heard about the book, I go, how many, what else is missing about Jackie Robinson that hasn't been said? And of course, here we are, we're coming into the 70th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking Major League Baseball's color barrier on April the 15th. And Ed Henry, who we know and we love, has served as Fox News Channel's chief national correspondent, joined the network back in June of 2011. He's covered all major news stories involving President Obama and his administration. He's won numerous journalism honors, including the Everett McKinley Dirksen Award for Distinguished Reporting of Congress and the White House Correspondent Association's Merriman Smith Award for Excellence. Ed Henry, good to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Looking forward to talking about 42 Face. It's a great book, and I think you're going to love it.
Well, briefly, just as a sidebar here, a couple of things. As a journalist and what journalism has been undergoing, it is really begging for a rebirthing and kind of a resettling of itself with the era of fake news and all that's going on. And as you, as a journalist, an award-winning journalist, I got to believe if I was in your position, I would be grieved over the profile of journalism today.
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, you're certainly right about this problem of fake news, but also just bias in the news. And it gets frustrating when opinion goes before the actual facts. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think the best antidote to all of this is to go back to basics. I mean, I think you find that in every facet of your life. And when there's trouble, when there's strife, when you make a mistake, you want to admit that you're imperfect, and journalism is certainly imperfect, and try to make it better. Mm-hmm. And I think you do that by going back to basics, which is, the five W's, who, what, when, where, and all that, and stick to facts, not your opinion, not your bias, not spinning it this way or that way, or, as you suggest, in some cases, just making things up. I mean, if you look at some of the coverage in the first 100 days of the Trump administration, I mean, some of it's just been downright hysterical.
Yes.
And I don't think the president has done everything right. He's certainly made mistakes, as has his team. We saw that yesterday at the White House podium with the comments about the Holocaust. Nobody's perfect. I think the comments in particular were shocking. But in the case of Sean Spicer, he apologized. He, quickly owned it and admitted it was a horrible error in judgment. And is trying to move on. And I think we've seen the coverage, though, even before that, it's just been this hysterical crisis and falling apart. And, it doesn't really meet the facts of what's actually happening. And so I think the real antidote is just going back to the basics, sticking to the facts, and doing real honest journalism. That's what I tried to do in this book, which is I got some new information about how Branch Rickey, the general manager of the Dodgers, there's a little historical twist. He had some second thoughts before signing Jackie to that first contract. And I think, you know, when you actually dig out the facts, focus on that, and dig in, that's the way to do it.
Well, and I really appreciate that, Ed, what you did, because you had to, you know, and I know this was something that had been, you know, processing in your mind for a number of years. It wasn't something you just sat down and wrote 2 weeks ago. And as you started doing this discovery, doing what good journalists do and digging deeper, you realize, hey, there's a story here. There's things that have been missed along the way about Jackie Robinson, that though he wasn't an overt man of faith, it was faith that really carried him through the pressures and the challenges that he experienced. And there were people behind him, people of faith like Branch Rickey that you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. And I found that that was their bond, basically. That the book focuses on how you've seen the Hollywood version of the movie 42, which I think is quite good. Mm-hmm. Faith is mentioned, but I think it's a brief mention, and they don't dive deep in it. And I'll let Hollywood speak for itself as to whether they want to get into faith in these movies or not. But for me, I wasn't going to focus on the negative. I wanted to focus on the positive. I think, by the way, that's another part of journalism. Of course, we've got to chase people down with facts, and they're not always going to be positive. But sometimes it's just so unrelentingly negative about everything, whether it be sports, politics. In this case, I wanted to show that there's another dimension to the story, that Branch Rickey and Jackie Robinson couldn't be more different. White man, black man, different generations, came from different regions of the country. And yet what bound them together, I think, was a love of this game of baseball, but also, more importantly, a strong faith in God that both men shared. And so the story I told you about a moment ago, the twist I found, and that is the center of this book, is that Branch Rickey had second thoughts before signing Jackie, and it had a secret meeting in 1945 with a minister in Brooklyn. And when you read the details of it, I think it'll be eye-opening about how Branch Rickey really thought there was some divine intervention here in this push to integrate baseball. And then quickly on the Robinson side, the more I dug in and, again, stuck with the facts of his life, I saw someone who was raised by a single mom in Pasadena, California. Jackie joins a gang, gets a criminal record, is going the wrong way, but is put back on the right path and on the road, if you will, to Brooklyn for his date with Destiny with Branch Rickey, by a Christian minister by the name of Reverend Carl Downs, who said, "Oh, we saw this athletic talent. Put him back on the right path." He winds up being the first four-letter man at UCLA in baseball, basketball, football, and track and field. And one of the facts that struck me was that while he was starring on Saturdays on the gridiron at UCLA, he'd wake up Sunday morning, Jackie Robinson, all battered and bruised and not wanting to get out of bed. But he would, because he had to teach Sunday school at the church that same Reverend Carl Downs was the pastor, and he had made a promise that he was going to teach Sunday school. How many college athletes get out of bed on Sunday morning after starring, whether it be Ohio State or Minnesota or Florida State, and are running the Sunday school on Sunday to make sure that they're giving back and focusing on the next generation and focusing on their faith? So that's why we call it 42 Faith. They've got a lot of new information in there.
Well, people don't get up early in the morning and do this unless they realize some benefit. And Jackie had to know deep down, as you say, though he wasn't necessarily overt, didn't carry his Christianity on his sleeve, he was a man of principle by experience because he had walked in the darkness. He had paid the price and saw a definite difference in his life when he was doing the right thing, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I find it quite amazing that, you know, as I tried to find living links to Jackie since he died so long ago in 1972, you know, I found a lot of rich new information in the story I learned about Branch Rickey that I told you. I learned new information in Jackie Robinson's papers, which his family donated to the Library of Congress. But, you know, his wife is still alive, and Rachel Robinson remembers in that rookie year of 47, every night he'd come home from Ebbets Field, go to their apartment, and get down on his hands and knees and pray to God before bed. That is an image that stuck with me.
Don't you love journalism, Ed, that you're able to find out stories like this and talk to people, and you talk about this in the book, You know, and I got to tell you, I was envious. I wish I was right there with you, you know, pouring a cup of coffee just to listen in, to be alongside you.
Yeah,
but
well, Carl Erskine and I were at an IHOP in Anderson, Indiana. That's one of the
exactly. More from Ed Henry after this. Stay with us, America.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at ShelterPod.com. The Shelter Pod at ShelterPod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With the ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Listening to Bill Martinez live. You know you can't deny. Bill Martinez live.
It's Way Like Me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, This weekend, April the 15th to be exact, Jackie Robinson Day across this country, as baseball parks, the culture will celebrate the 70th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in baseball. And we're fortunate to have Ed Henry with us, who serves as Fox News Channel's chief national correspondent, author of this new book, 42 Faith. We've got some new stories about Jackie Robinson, new revelations, and this is what you love about having a true journalist who gets into the facts like this, because he reveals some really great nuggets. Ed, I wanted you to share with our audience a meeting that, with due respect, you had. It was a by-invitation meeting, a cocktail party with President Barack Obama, and he had something to say about Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, he did, and I was in the middle of my research for this project, and the president, I said, hey, have you ever had a chance to meet with Rachel Robinson, Jackie's widow? Mm-hmm. And he, at the time, this was in 2011, as I was sort of embarking on all of this, he said, unfortunately, I've only met her a couple of times very briefly. I haven't gotten to really, spend the proper time to talk about Jackie's legacy, but I said, well, I'm going to actually go meet with her to do an interview in New York. And we were at the White House together. And the president said, well, I want you to give her a message for me. And I sort of stopped for a second because, it's not often that the president, whether it's President Trump or President Obama, sends a message to a journalist. I mean, they obviously, as president, can pick up the phone or, deal with whoever they want directly. I think obviously he was busy, he was in the middle of a lot of things, and he just said, look, if you're going to meet with her, I want you to send this message to her. I said, okay, what's that? And he said, I believe there's a straight line from what Jackie did in 1947, which you just mentioned, to me being here at the White House today. And I sort of stopped. I mean, the power of that one statement really opened my eyes. And, look, whether you support or oppose, a lot of what President Obama was doing while he was in office, whether you support or oppose President Trump, I think we should all be celebrating, the legacy of Jackie Robinson, with Branch Rickey, of course, as well. But Jackie was the one who really sustained the abuse and the slings and arrows that you mentioned before. We have had so much more diversity and so much coming together over the years. We certainly don't have a perfect country, but I would think that if Jackie Robinson were alive today on the 70th anniversary this weekend, he would see that there's been a lot of progress in this country. We still have a long way to go. As I've said in an earlier segment, we're all imperfect. Right. And it's not like we have complete racial harmony. We have plenty of bumps along the road, but I think that Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey, both being men of faith, saw that while imperfect, this country has been coming together. And I think, Jackie himself and some of his very personal writings that I get into in the book that haven't really been shared before, that I got at the Library of Congress in his personal papers. At one point, Jackie writes, there are probably better Christians, but I just did the best I knew how. And I didn't want to let down my mother, who I mentioned earlier, instilled faith in him at an early age, along with that Christian minister, the Reverend Carl Downs. And I didn't want to let down Mr. Rickey, he said in his writings. And I think, you mentioned this before, there was a bond that was formed between Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey, a partnership, really. And neither one of them could have, broken this color barrier without the other.
Well, both of them for a time such as this. I mean, really, when you look at the trajectory of their lives, it was, starting, like you say, when Jackie Robinson in Pasadena getting in trouble, went through, experienced what he had to experience. He meets up with a godly man who's trying to reconcile the environment. I mean, he's in the marketing business. He's dealing with fans. I mean, the contention that people had towards race, and you've got somebody breaking the barrier. And I know that you had to deal with how open and vulnerable did you want to be as a journalist in relating what America was at that point and and freely throwing out the disparaging words. I mean, they were absolutely evil and destructive, and you had to be honest with yourself so you could be honest with the readers to say this was America and this is what Jackie Robinson went through.
You're right. I mean, in my first draft, which was due last August, as I was coming to a close on it, I initially, would just use quote unquote N-word, you know, when someone had used the actual word back in 1945 or 1947 when I was quoting someone. And it was my wife and a friend of mine who had looked at that first draft and said, well, why are you doing that? And I said, well, you know, this is an offensive term and that's sort of the norm of today. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't written a book before, and they were very direct in saying, well, wait, you're writing a historical work here, and this was what was said. And they didn't say, quote unquote, N-word. They said the word. They said worse.
Right.
And, you know, in a way, I spoke to an African-American journalist colleague recently about, you know, whether I made the right decision to then change the draft and use the actual words that are very hurtful now. And were hurtful then, of course, as well. But you know, it's looked through a different lens now, I guess is my point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this African-American journalist colleague said, if you had not used the actual words, you would have been PC, ironically. Yeah. You'd be the PC one who was sanitizing the news, sanitizing history. And when we see the full measure and impact of what Jackie Robinson faced, only then can we realize how important his faith was and overcoming it, number one. And number two, only then can we fully appreciate just how awesome his legacy is and was. Because if you sanitize what he faced, then it's like, well, it wasn't that big of a deal. No, this was a big deal.
No, it was visceral. I mean, it was so mean-spirited. And what Jackie Robinson did in opening the door of baseball to other black Americans and truly becoming an international sport these days. Ed, I know that you, it's obvious in writing the book that you love the game. You know, we
sure.
didn't talk much about your upbringing, but you're a fan of baseball, as I am.
Absolutely. I grew up a Yankees fan. I hope that's not offensive to too many people in your audience because I wanted to buy 42 face. But yeah, I'm a lover of the game. I mean, look, for a Yankees fan to write a book about a Dodger, I think shows that I'm trying to come together here as well. But obviously, in all seriousness, yeah, I grew up, you know, like many Americans, my dad instilled it to me at an early age, passed on father to son. He's still around and gets to go to get some games with me and my son now, who I've instilled this love of baseball in. But, you know, there's a lot of other sports now, obviously. Baseball, I write about a time in the 40s and the 50s, particularly in New York, where baseball was all they had. I mean, you had three teams, the Yankees, the Giants, and the Dodgers, all the rivalries. Fans and players themselves would take subways to the games, you know, because, you know, they could, you know, it was a much different time in terms of the closeness and the proximity. I mean, I interviewed Vin Scully, the great broadcaster, and he talked about the beauty of Ebbets Field being that it was such a bandbox of a ballpark compared to some of the ones we see today that the way Scully puts it, as only he can, the fans could smell the breath of the players, you know, that's how close they were. I think maybe he was exaggerating a little, but the point is well taken that this was a pretty awesome ballpark and a pretty awesome time in America. My son now is also very interested in the NBA, and he's on the varsity tennis team at school. So baseball is no longer the dominant or the only sport, but I think whichever sport you're interested in, part of my book, I think, is trying to show people how powerful sports can be in terms of bringing people together in this country. And I think that's another part of the legacy of Branch Rickey and Jackie Robinson, because, you know, I talk about in the book that Bill Russell, the great basketball player, was a pallbearer at Jackie's funeral in 1972. He knew full well that he never would have won all those championships with the Celtics without somebody like Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, without a doubt. And of course, speaking of the Dodgers, for the first time ever, and I grew up going to Dodger Stadium, Ed, they're going to dedicate their first stadium statue, Jackie Robinson, on the 70th anniversary this weekend there at Dodger Stadium. What a sight. I mean, of all the...
I'm going to be out in Los Angeles, and I can't wait to see it. You're right. It's pretty remarkable. I understand they're going to add more down the road. I'm sure you'll see Koufax and others. But
yes,
it's how appropriate that Jackie comes first.
And he opens the door once again to all players of all colors there at Dodger Stadium as well. That says a lot about the legacy of one Jackie Robinson. And again, I highly recommend Ed's book, 42 Faith, available at all the usual places. And it'll be linked on our website as well, Ed.
I appreciate it. 42faithbook.com, the number 42faithbook.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Chirakuri, a board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. Every day, I see many patients whose lives would be enriched by hearing aids, but who simply cannot afford the thousands of dollars needed to pay for them. I made it my mission to find a way to manufacture medical-grade, affordable hearing aids. Working with other doctors and audiologists, I developed the MD Hearing Aid Air, which costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids.
See how the MD Hearing Aid Air can help you once again enjoy conversations, even in noisy places. Call 1-800-416-1526 to speak with one of their trained specialists. Reconnect with your life with MD Hearing Aid's affordable quality hearing solutions at a fraction of the cost of custom hearing aids. Right now, take advantage of their exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-416-1526. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-416-1526.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day. 3 hours coming your way, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. Hey, by the way, we got great news. In fact, we're going to, Scott, we need to do something real special regarding the unveiling of our new billboard in Times Square on 42nd Street, right next to Dave and Buster's there. You go there and you can see Bill Martinez live right there on the big screen. It's amazing. And I want to encourage you to go there. When you go there, take a picture, send it to us at bill@billmartinezlive.com. We'll put you in the running here. We're going to give away T-shirts, give away cash. We're, you know, just send in your pictures and we'll post them on our website. Get them to us, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Dr. Bonner Cohen is with us right now, senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research, where he concentrates on energy, natural resources, and international relations. Bonner, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, and I hope you and our listeners are doing well, too.
Well, I want to talk about the People's Climate March coming up on April the 29th. That will be taking place, all in connection with, of course, Earth Day was Saturday, the 22nd. And this is kind of an extension to see if we can extend Earth Day a little bit, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's a 1-2 punch on the part of the Greens, or at least an attempted 1-2 punch on the part of the Greens. The effort of the goal of which is to reverse Trump administration policies that themselves are reversing so many of the restrictions that were imposed on our use of energy during the Obama administration, and on the part of the Trump administration to preemptively take steps that will roll back regulations that stifle individual initiative, that actually prolonged the recession that we got in 2007-2008, and to allow Americans to make proper use of the tremendous natural resources that we have in this country, and thereby opening up employment opportunities for all Americans. And, of course, what really bugs the marchers is the so-called war on science that Trump is said to be pushing. And they even call the one of the marches, you know, the March for Science. Well, actually, yeah. It's a march against science.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's the thing that you kind of find quite ironic. And this is the nature. They do a good job at framing this in such a way that the very thing they're telling you is the antithesis of what it is, like the march for, well, really, for anti-science, wasn't it?
Oh yes. it's a variation of the Saul Alinsky thing. The issue is not the issue. Well, yeah. Here, what you do is you put in the false, the wrong preposition.
Right.
And what these people really want is a continuous flow of government funding for so-called scientific research into particularly climate change, but there are other areas as well. Now, the recipients of those funds, of course, have a vested interest in keeping the flow of money coming. Mm-hmm. But from the standpoint of the environmental groups, the important thing is to keep the drumbeat going that the Earth is at peril and we need to take urgent and immediate steps to address that problem, lest we cook ourselves to the boiling point as a result of human-induced global warming.
Exactly.
And so this is the scare tactic that they've been using. And, of course, it's been funded in large part not just by the Green Foundations, but also by the federal government. The federal government has spent $200 billion of taxpayers' money on climate change since the mid-1990s. And unless you happen to be on the receiving end of those funds, every cent was completely wasted. We have made no dent in the climate one way or the other. And it's one of the many Washington gravy trains that needs to be derailed as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know, what did we get out of it? I mean, okay, so no dent out of it, but what did we learn? What did we learn from $200 billion? And this is what Trump brings to bear on the whole proposition, right?
Yeah, and we learned absolutely nothing because we've had weather monitoring stations for decades. It's relatively easy to compile data on what the climate is doing, and because the climate's always undergoing changes, it warms up, it cools off, we have droughts, we have floods, but we've always had those things and we always will.
Mm-hmm.
So they were throwing money at a problem which, as defined by environmentalists, human-induced global warming through the use of fossil fuels, the problem demonstrably doesn't exist. Why? Because the climatological observations do not support it. So if the climatological observations don't support the theory, there's something terribly wrong with the theory.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but, you know, again, you've got $200 billion and hopefully growing there that they've got their tentacles in. And, of course, thank God we have a president who believes in return on investment, says, I'm not tracking with this. And then on top of that, they really got unwound when the president says, you know, that Paris thing, I don't think I want to do the Paris thing.
Yeah, of course, the entire climate industrial complex, which is extremely well funded, which includes not only the recipients of government funding, and not just U.S. government, governments around the world are foolishly doing this, or at least in industrialized countries they are. There's U.N. funding because the U.N. funding comes from taxpayers. And they're also the purveyors of alternative energy who are more than eager to say that the Earth needs saving and we have the energy means to save it. So all of these people have a vested interest in keeping things going. And, of course, you mentioned the Paris Climate Change Agreement. Now, This was agreed to in December 2015, and under that agreement, the United States is supposed to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions by 26% by the year 2025, which is practically impossible to do. Mm-hmm. But any attempt on our part to reach that is simply going to hurt us. And by the way, what is China, for that matter, what is India obligated to do under the treaty? Answer, absolutely nothing, zero, until 2030, at which time they may do something or may not. So it unilaterally penalizes the United States. So I sincerely hope that President Trump keeps his campaign promise and gets us out of that treaty, either withdraw from it completely or, even better in my view, declare the agreement a treaty, which it de facto is. Mm-hmm. And under the Constitution, a treaty is to be submitted to the Senate for ratification. See if that monstrosity gets 67 votes, which it most certainly will not. The Senate will reject it, and that will be that.
But that's the way to do it, right? I mean, that way you get it out of the political realm. It's right there. You follow due process the way it was supposed to have been done, President Obama did it. And let Congress say it has veritas or not. Going back to the $200 billion that we've spent since the mid-1990s, are you counting any money that has been taken out of the people's treasury and distributed to the United Nations and redirected to this fiasco?
Yeah, that's all included in the $200 billion. In other words, it all came from checks written by U.S. taxpayers to the IRS. Once that money gets to Washington, it is going to be redistributed to so-called scientific research, climate research carried on by an assortment of federal agencies, some of whom have a long history of manipulating data. NOAA comes to mind,
right.
NASA and EPA, just to name three of the most egregious offenders. Some of that money, you're quite right about that, goes straight to the United Nations to support a host of climate programs around the world. It's been a giant cookie monster for an awful lot of recipients of the money.
Yeah.
But the average American taxpayer gets absolutely nothing from this.
Well, Dr. Bonner Cohen, we got about 30 seconds left. Executive order implementing an American First offshore energy strategy will be one of the executive orders that's projected to be signed by President Trump this week.
Yes, the date appears to be Friday, mm-hmm. and we are going to be opening up more offshore areas to drilling for oil and natural gas, of which we have abundant resources. And it looks as if so-called national monuments, some of the energy restrictions imposed on national monuments themselves are going to be lifted. So a very good thing for most Americans.
Well, Dr. Bonner Cohen, Senior Fellow at the National Center for Policy Research. Thank you, Bonner. Appreciate it.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you. And you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347. Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number
number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Good to have you along with us. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Yeah, I got a tweet to you. You're Broadway Bill now? You got a billboard there on 42nd Street about a half block away from where, you know, the annual ball drop happens there. You can see Bill Martinez live there. So go there. It's right next to Dave and Buster's, Madame Tussauds. Maybe we get Kreskin over there to take a picture, too, because he's always hanging out over there, and send us a picture. So send us a picture. We'll put you in a drawing. We got T-shirts. We got all kinds of stuff. Even some cash. We got cash to give away because we're just, that's the way we roll. And speaking of rolling, I always look forward to this time of the week when we can visit with Bob Walaszewski, Focus on the Family's Director of Media and Culture, Director of Focus's Plugged-In Department, which features the popular Plugged-In website, pluggedin.com. Many of my friends, their families, they won't even go to a movie, Bob, until they check you out. I'm glad you're there to steer them in the right direction.
We get emails like that all the time, and I can't tell you what a blessing it is to read that, because you know, without something like Plugged In, and we're not the only show in town. I mean, Common Sense Media reviews films conservatively. There's a group called Screen It. It's a paid subscription. We're free, you know, but they're conservative. But if it wasn't for groups like ours, you'd have the MPAA ratings. And when they tell you that it's a PG-13, you'd have to either go with them or just totally, you know, never believe them.
Waste your money and then go there. Yeah, exactly. You go there, you waste your money, you're covering the eyes and ears of your kid and holding the popcorn box in front of them because you got surprised here, you know. But you guys do the work and give people some counsel along the way, because after all, I mean, you go into the movies, it's not cheap. I mean, it's expensive.
No, we try to tell people go or don't go. I mean, in our written reviews. Now, when you and I chat, you know, sometimes I'll cross that line a little bit and say, you know, hey, I really like this movie, like Case for Christ.
Right.
I'll say, you know, this might be one worth going to see, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about Born in China in a little bit, and that's one that I'll say, yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'll say, you know, hey, Fate of the Furious, it may be the number one film. It may have made $500 million in its first weekend global, half a billion globally. And yet I'll say, I don't think it's worth the time, you know.
Right.
I don't mind going out there, and people are going to agree with me some, and some are going to go, no, I think we're going to go anyway. Hey, that's fine. It just gives me an opportunity to share what we do and kind of tell you why I believe what I believe, and we can, and people can disagree if they want to.
Well, and we appreciate the boldness, and it takes some boldness and courage for Focus on the Family to hold to the Word of God and the things that are valuable and this sort of thing, because it helps when we reconnect with our values. Because in the culture at large, like you say, if we're just left up to the regular ratings, services that the industry puts out there, we're gonna be confused, and we're kind of led to believe that, you know, it's kind of like when you were kids, Mom, Dad, how come I can't? Everybody's doing it, you know, like that's the standard, right? Because everybody
yeah.
is doing it, that's the way it should be. But then when you realize and you say, look, I want to live a different life, I want to live a, you know, to Christian values and the things that the Word of God says, not everybody's doing that. And, you know, so you are, by virtue of that standing, you're going to stand out, number one. Number two, you're in a culture that is so divided right now that maybe the question that Joshua put out before the children of Israel is one that we need to have heard in this millennia, and that is choose for you who you are going to serve this day.
Yeah,
because there are lots of people out there serving all kinds of different things, and they're wondering, hey, what's going on? I mean, like, for example, I got to tell you, Bob, I was really sad. I don't know if you knew of Aaron Moran, who was Joni in
Yes, I saw
Happy
that he
Day.
Passed.
And it was sad, and I was relating to everybody the last time I saw her. I mean, she was still a little kid then. You know, this was years ago. We were playing a celebrity softball game at Dodger Stadium, of all places. And she, along with, you know, Henry Winkler and Ron Howard and the whole crew there, and it was such great fun, and she just was so innocent. And to think what happened along the way in her life, dies at 56, you know, heroin overdose, I guess, is what is suspected. But her the last years of her life, you know, quite sad when you think about what an influence the Cunninghams and Happy Days had on America. And even Joni herself, with Joni and Chachi, the follow-up series that they did with Gary Marshall. But, you know, unfortunate and very, you know, heartbreaking, sad story, really, just made me sad. But this is the stuff that is out there. This is real life. And, you know, this is the culmination of the choices that Aaron Moran made, sadly. And that's the takeaway.
And there's another message in there, too. I think there's a lot of people that look fondly on Hollywood stars and say, oh, to be like them. If I was just like them, my life would be, it'd have meaning, it'd have purpose, mm-hmm. it would be fun, it would get me out of this drudgery, and that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's true in a few isolated cases, but Hollywood stars are some of the most messed up, and I'm speaking generally here,
right. Yeah.
But their marriages often are a wreck, their relationships are a wreck. When you read their tell-all books and whatever they're saying about drug abuse and alcoholism and on and on and on, they're probably not the people to emulate. There are people out there, the Mother Teresa's of the world, to emulate, who are doing wonderful work, who find meaning and fulfillment in serving others. And I think as a culture, it would be nice if we shift our values away from Hollywood and the stars and say, I don't necessarily want to be like them. Oh, but to be like, and fill in the blank, you know,
yes.
and look at people who are making a difference serving others.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me one time I was doing a commercial shoot for a friend's company, and his daughter, we're going to use his daughter in the shoot, and she was coming across kind of lilting, Bob, and I could, you know, I really need some more energy, you know, I want you to think of, you know, somebody that you really admire. And at that time, Michael Jackson was a thing, and it was kind of
uh-huh.
like her age. And I thought, oh, you know, so I thought, you know, I asked her, I said, well, who do you look up to? And I'm thinking she's going to say Michael Jackson. You know what she says?
No.
She says, Jesus.
Wow.
And, talk about a wake-up call for this guy, the director of the shoot. And everything. Needless to say, she remains one of my favorites of all time. And Carissa really, in fact, Carissa so inspired me that I named my daughter Marissa. I couldn't name her Carissa, but I named her Marissa.
Oh, gotcha.
So there's some relationship there. But, yeah, the fact that she's, well, who do you look up to? Who is your example? You know, I think she was going to say Michael Jackson. She goes, oh, Jesus.
Uh-huh. That's neat. That's neat. Well, speaking of Hollywood, going back around the other side, what's good in Hollywood this weekend at the box office? I want to, the number four film in the nation over the weekend, making a surprising $5 million. Right. It's probably the best Disney nature take. I think it is their best take after a weekend. And such an incredible jaw-dropping scenery. Okay, for those who don't know, number nine in the Disney nature series, every single one transports you somewheres, and you get to meet all these animals, and you get to learn what's in their head. Now, do we really know what's in their head? Of course not. But the narrator, this is John Krasinski. He always tells us this is what these animals are thinking.
Right.
And in this one, we go to the wilds of China, not Beijing, not smog-filled city with bikers. You know, we're not there with pagodas and rickshaws and whatever. We're in the back wilds. And we're meeting its furry and feathered friends. This time, pandas, they're so cute.
Yeah.
Monkeys, leopards, antelope, cranes. It's incredible. They don't mention God in these Disney nature films. I understand that. But you can't help but watch one of these without seeing God's fingerprints all over the place, whether it's the animals or the scenery. It's pretty incredible. Now, I do need to point out for those viewers who are about ready to take their three-year-old that every single of the seven films that we reviewed, two went straight to DVD. We didn't review those. We reviewed all the others, all the theatrical ones. We gave them all 4.5s out of 5, which is a fabulous score, or a perfect score. Bears got a 5 out of 5, perfect score. This one gets a 3.5, still a very good score, but it's not as good as any of the others. How come? Well, let's just say it's always been a fine line with Disney films on who's dining and who's dinner. And Disney's done a pretty good job in the past, and they still do a pretty good job here, but there's more visually, if you know what I mean. They've crossed the line just a tad bit more.
We didn't do 15 seconds of gay pandas or anything, did we?
No.
Just saying.
The pandas are just so...
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, if all they did was just show the pandas, I could probably watch those for... This is an hour and 16-minute film. I could watch the pandas, I think, for an hour and 16 minutes.
Right.
They're just like, I want to just go cuddle up with some pandas. Or so
exactly.
Right. So, I really like the film. Think it has great potential. Glad it did well over the weekend. You know, God bless... Rick Dempsey, Senior Vice President of Creative at Disney, for getting behind these films. I think they've hit onto something, and people have responded.
Yeah, without a doubt. Hey, it's been a good year for Disney again. I mean, back-to-back years. I mean, they just keep sending the Brinks trucks to just collect cash for Disney.
It was $7.3 billion that Disney made last year. Billion, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, the Brinks trucks are there regularly hauling off all that cash, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Film that probably didn't... How much time do we have?
We got about 45 seconds.
Okay, one other film came in at number 9 I want to hit. It's called The Promise. It highlights a period in history, the Armenian Genocide right before World War I. The Ottoman Empire was at a low point, and the Turks began annihilating a lot of Armenians. And many of us don't know this part of history. And in that part of this film, The Promise, it's fictional history. The history's part, but then there's a love story in the midst. I like the history, and I like the heroism. I didn't think it was a perfect film just because the love story didn't quite work for me. But as I was telling my brother-in-law, who wanted to know what I thought of the movie, He said, history would be worth it for me. I said, if the history is worth it for you, the film is worth it, you know. So,
Bob Waliszewski. Thank you, Robert.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I'm very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better, my joints feel better, I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, this is Ted.